morning, brothers and sisters. A warm welcome to all of you, and especially those guests in our midst. Shall now rise to receive the Lord's greeting. Now acknowledge our dependence on the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And let us now receive his greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now sing to the praise of the Lord, Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Now listen to the holy law of our covenant God, the Lord who saved us from the bondage of sin and Satan. And we'll sing after the law of the Lord from Psalm 100, the verses 3 and 4. 100, 3 and 4. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let us now unite in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you have brought us together this morning as your people. We thank you for your care and protection in the last week, for opportunities you have given us to work, to relax, to enjoy your gifts. We praise you, especially for your work of redemption. We thank you that you keep calling us out of the darkness into your wonderful light. We thank you for that incomprehensible love you have shown in sending your Son to die for us. Yes, Father, we do not deserve your grace. We have forfeited all rights through our sins, the sins with which we are born and the sins we do daily. We humble ourselves before you. Forgive us where we have neglected to do the things you asked of us. Forgive us where we did things that you had forbidden. Forgive us where we were so preoccupied with unimportant things and neglected the important things in life. Forgive us where we couldn't accept your will in our life, where we rebelled, where we were unthankful and disobedient. Forgive us where we didn't pay attention to others but only thought of ourselves. Forgive us for lack of love. Yes, Father, forgive us all our sins. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know how much forgiveness we need. And we thank you that we can go to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and can be assured of forgiveness. Father, grant that every one of us may accept your forgiveness, that we can truly live as thankful Christians in this world. Fill us with your Spirit. Renew us more and more in your image, so that we may all grow in faith, hope, and love. Comfort those who are struggling with certain difficulties in their lives, in their relationships, or wherever. May we constantly understand your will and receive humility and strength to do your will. Have mercy on the ignorant and strengthen the weak in faith. Open the mouths of your servants so that they may boldly proclaim your message. Write your words in our hearts so that we may take it with us in our daily lives and live lives pleasing to you. This all we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. You now receive the opportunity to give your thank offerings to the Lord. The collection this morning is for the needy, and this afternoon it will be for Mission Aid Sumba. So the collection is for the needy, and we'll sing after that from Psalm 135 verses 1 and 2. 135, 1 and 2. Let us now open the scriptures at Matthew 24, and we'll read from verse 45 to 51. Matthew 24, verse 45 to 51. And there we read the word of God. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of it, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then follows the parable of the 10 virgins, which ends in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And the words of our text follow then from chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. So continue to read from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping we have not sown, and gathering we have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus far the scripture. In response to the word of God, we'll sing hymn 84. So after the sermon, we'll sing hymn 84. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the beginning of a new working season, it is good to reflect on our daily calling in the service of the Lord. The Lord Jesus calls all of you to serve. You all receive certain tasks and responsibilities in his kingdom. No one is redundant. You are all needed. In what way then? What can you do with your limited possibilities? Can my life, for example, still truly be fruitful in God's kingdom while I am sick or old? While I'm unable to participate in church activities any longer, or while I'm young and still studying, can one say that everyone, without exception, has responsibilities in the service of the Lord? Not only the office bearers, but also all members. And how must we then deal with those responsibilities? Let's now listen to the words of our text. I preach to you, serve Christ faithfully in anticipation of his return. We'll consider 3 points. First, the sharing of responsibilities. Second, the acceptance of responsibilities. And thirdly, the settling of accounts. Beloved, what is the lesson of Christ's parable? Is it that you must make the most of your natural gifts? Is it that you must develop your natural abilities well and turn them to the best advantage? Let's have a look at the context of the parable. The word "for," with which the text starts, links it to the preceding passage. The parable is part of Christ's long address that starts in chapter 24 and continues through to the end of chapter 25. The parable therefore belongs to Christ's discourse on the last days. Everything is placed in a perspective of the day of Christ's return. Immediately preceding our text, we read, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And immediately following our text, we read, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." The Lord Jesus repeatedly exhorts us to prepare ourselves well for his coming. In that context, he repeatedly says, "Watch therefore, be alert, ready." You could say that those words, "watch therefore," are the motto of the whole discourse. Shortly before his death, Christ urges his disciples to be watchful and active in anticipation of his return. Beloved, when you see the text in that context, it's clear that Christ is not just speaking about the use of your talents. The parable needs to be read in the light of that last day. Christ doesn't just want to promote a certain attitude towards your gifts without taking his coming into account. He calls us to work in the awareness that he will one day return. The kingdom of heaven is compared to an important person who has to go on a journey and will be away for a long time. He calls his servants, entrusts his property to them. During his absence, they must manage, take care of his property. The owner does not entrust everything to one person. He shares the responsibility. Thus one servant gets 5 talents, another 2, and the 3rd 1. In distributing the talents, the owner is completely free to give what he wishes to whom he wishes. He is under no obligation to anyone. He is the owner. He may do with his property what he wishes. We see, however, that he does not distribute arbitrarily. As a good master, he knows his servants. He knows their history and abilities. That's why he distributes to each according to his own ability, we read. To manage the master's property, you need more than just willingness and faithfulness. The Lord does not wish to ask too much from anyone. Everyone receives responsibilities according to his abilities. Note, beloved, the Lord places great confidence in all his servants. This also applies to the man who receives 1 talent. That 1 talent is still a huge amount. The master still entrusts such a huge amount to his care. What a trust he places in him. Who is the man who travels to a far country? In the context, it's clear that the man refers to Jesus Christ himself. Christ is addressing his disciples shortly before his death. He will ascend to heaven. He will be away for a long time until he returns to judge the living and the dead. But what is meant by the talents? Does that refer to your natural abilities, as is often suggested? It's striking that Jesus clearly distinguishes those talents from our individual abilities. In the parable, the talents are not the same as our abilities, because Christ gives according to abilities. What do they then refer to? Note that it is the master's property that he entrusts to his servants. It's about Christ's possessions, treasures. Here you can think, first of all, of spiritual treasures, such as the gospel, Christ's sheep, his church. The context points in that direction. Jesus is busy saying farewell to his disciples. He is busy giving them various responsibilities. They must become stewards of the household of God. Think what we read in Matthew 24, verse 45. Who is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season. Apparently Christ has his disciples in view. They are his servants, and their task is to look after his household, to give his people food at the proper time. Our text is related to that when it speaks about entrusting the master's property to the care of the servants. Christ is entrusting his treasures to his disciples, including his word, his sheep, his church. They must work with it so that it increases in value, as it were, so that it bears fruit, fruit of faith and repentance, so that the church may grow spiritually, but also in number. My beloved, although talents in first instance refer to spiritual treasures, this need not exclude natural gifts. The parable speaks of the possessions the Lord entrusted to his servants. And Jesus is the owner of the whole creation, of people and human structures, plants and animals, water and air, money and material goods. Jesus entrusts everything on earth to his servants. The words of the text refer, first of all, to the disciples, but we must not restrict it to them. The words apply till the day of Christ's return. And after the apostles, there are many other servants who take over. Also today, Christ's possessions are entrusted to the care of human beings, special office bearers, members of Christ's church. The gospel is entrusted to the church. The care of the individual members is also entrusted to the church. And the church is you and me, every one of us. This is not something you can leave to the office bearers, even though they have a special responsibility in this regard. Now, God exhorts all members to work with his word, to encourage and admonish with his word. All of you are servants of God, stewards of Christ. In God's kingdom, there are no unemployed. Christ's treasures have not been entrusted to only a few, so that all tasks land on the same shoulders. No, every member receives responsibilities according to ability. Christ puts great trust in all of you. He entrusts his property, his word, his church, yes, all of his creation to your care. When you consider this, how numerous are then the resources in God's kingdom. You don't run short of workers very quickly. Decisive is then, what do you do with those talents? And that brings to the second point, acceptance of responsibilities. Brothers and sisters, the man with the 5 talents immediately gets to work. He's a real steward. His attitude is characterized by thankfulness, respect for his master. He is thankful for and happy with the trust his master put in him. Just think of it. His master has entrusted part of his property to his care. What an honour He does not want to disappoint his master. That would be unthankful, irresponsible. After all, his master is his owner, and all the property is his. He is obliged to serve his master's interests faithfully. Yes, his master's interests have become his interests. That is why he joyfully gets to work with the master's good. And this has as a result that he increases the value of the property 100%. The same applies to the servant who received 2 talents. He too sees the capital increasing by 100%. That he received 2 talents instead of 5 does not bother him. Doesn't make him unhappy. On the contrary, it is a proof of his master's good care. His master has fear on him. He does not ask more than he can do. He gives responsibilities according to ability. And that's why the second servant can work with those 2 talents with joy and thankfulness, so that it bears fruit for his master. The third servant, with the 1 talent, has a totally different attitude. He is unhappy. He takes it ill of his master that he only gave him 1 talent while others received more. He fails to see that that 1 talent is a proof of great trust in him. He fails to see how privileged he is with that 1 talent. He also fails to recognize his master's love and care in giving him just that 1 talent. According to ability, more would be too much. He wouldn't cope. And everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. Yet this third servant doesn't want to see that. He's unthankful and lazy. He can't be bothered exerting himself. He takes the easy way out. He thinks that he's done nothing wrong as long as he returns what his master initially gave him. That is why he safely hides his master's money. He's not going to take any risks. Beloved, this servant is no stranger in the Church of Christ. It refers to those who shirk their responsibilities. You are then satisfied when you don't do anything really bad. You, however, fail to make any positive contribution. You leave all the work in God's kingdom to others. You refuse to be Jesus' steward. You fail to promote God's kingdom. You don't show love and zeal for God's cause in this world. That 1 talent, worth a great amount, is left unused. And it's striking, beloved, that the Lord pictures the man with the least talents as a lazy servant. Would he want to say something to us through this? Are there people who admire and envy the 5 talents of others? You then see how many treasures and possibilities others have received. You see how others have so many responsibilities in church and society. You see how others use their possessions and businesses in God's service. You see how others place their relationships, their marriage and family in the service of God's kingdom. But you don't get around to it to work with that one talent God has given you. Why not? Because it's just one. You're unhappy with God. Discontent. Yet the Lord Jesus wishes to use more people than just those leaders that work hard in various areas. Christ also wishes to use those common people, that ordinary married or unmarried man or woman, that widow or widower, that housewife in a busy family, that student or laborer. In God's kingdom, there are no people who are not called to serve. No people who can sit back while others do the work. All are called to service according to ability. Christ has entrusted his word, his creation, to all of you. Thus he also gives you certain responsibilities. Let no one stand in the sideline. You all receive the honor of being Christ's stewards. Fulfill your service faithfully, whether you have one talent or five. Christ does not judge according to the size of your calling and task. Christ looks at the heart. He judges you according to your faithfulness. Are you faithfully fulfilling your responsibilities? If you're not able to preach the Christ from the rooftops, preaching him daily under the roof of your home, among family and friends, remains the most valuable contribution to God's kingdom. Beloved, if all of us would go to work with the talents Christ has entrusted to us, if everyone would accept our God-given responsibilities with joy and thankfulness, what a power would proceed from the church. And remember, it's not all about achieving as much as possible. It's not all about developing your potential to the fullest or about maximizing the profits. No, the point is that what you do must truly be for the benefit and joy of your owner. The big question is, for whom do you do it? For yourself or for Christ? Do you make the most of your possibilities and opportunities for your own gain or for the promotion of Christ's cause in this world? Yes, what does the Lord gain from the things you do in your daily life, from the relationships you maintain? Beloved, after a while, the master returns and calls his servants to account. The first two are happy to see their master. They're happy to tell him his goods have doubled in value. The master praises them for their faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into joy of your Lord. Yes, great is the reward for the faithful. Compared to that reward, all our work here on earth is only minor. The joy of your master will be unlimited, immeasurable, everlasting. While the account of the first two servants is brief, The account of the third servant is more elaborate. Note the way the servant starts. Accusation. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. No thankfulness whatsoever for the trust put in him. Only complaining. His master would be to blame. Yes, isn't this how it often goes in our life? We can be very handy in excusing ourselves, our conduct, in glossing over our inactivity or disobedience. Now others are to blame. In fact, a master would have no reason to be dissatisfied with such servants, if you must believe them. Don't they return what Christ has initially given them? Surely the Lord should be satisfied with that. As if the Lord has entrusted his property to you for that purpose, to hide it safely and to leave it unproductive. As if Christ has given his gospel and his gifts of creation to keep them for ourselves. Every word the third servant speaks to defend himself witnesses against him. The Lord links onto this. Imagine that you indeed knew me as a hard master. Then you should have exerted yourself all the more to win my favour. The least you could have done was invest the money with bankers. Then I could receive that with interest. But the servant didn't even do that. He didn't act upon his own fears. He didn't make an effort to satisfy his so-called hard master. He has no love for his master. And from that perspective, he judges his master. If you have no love, it is difficult to understand the language of love. You are then not prepared to do something for others. You refuse to serve. Such a servant is useless in God's service. You wicked and lazy servant, his master says. And then we hear the Lord's sentence. Take the talent from him. You can't put any trust in such a servant any longer. Cast him into the outer darkness. What a dreadful outcome. Such a servant cannot share the joy of his master. Those who refuse to love and serve are ultimately refused by God. They receive their deserved reward in utter darkness. Yet, beloved, when you faithfully serve, when you promote God's cause in this world, you will receive in abundance. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. Beloved, let this parable encourage you to faithfully serve your Lord. During his absence, Christ entrusts his possessions, his treasures, yes, his creation to your care, each according to ability. He gives all of you own responsibilities. And he is going to return on that great day. Fulfill your service faithfully in anticipation of his return. Do not shirk your duties. Do not give up in despair. Christ does not ask more than you're able. In the distribution of the tasks, he takes into account your situation and abilities. And why does he entrust his possessions to your care? So that you might manage it for his benefit and joy. Accept your responsibilities in his service. Do it willingly and cheerfully out of love for your Lord and for the promotion of his kingdom. Amen. From the consistory, our station has been requested by Family G. Boswell to the Freeform Church of Baldivis. Let us now unite in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privileges we may enjoy, that you wish to get us involved in your kingdom. Even though we're not worthy of that of ourselves, you wish to use every one of us according to ability. We thank you, Father, for your word that has been entrusted to us, the gospel of grace, that we may work with it in our own family circle, friends, people we meet, Yes, Father, help us to see the opportunities so that we speak about you. And those who live in ignorance may get to know you in truth. And Father, even when we are sick, even when we'd be bedridden, you wish to use us. Father, help us to be what you wish us to be, your witnesses. We thank you, Father, the opportunities we may have in society, in running businesses, in doing our work. And grant, Father, also in this, we may truly know ourselves as stewards, so that we wish to make our businesses, our contacts, of service to your kingdom. Father, thank you for your love and care in all circumstances of our life, that we never need to be dissatisfied for what you give us. Father, we pray for the work of the deacons, that they may do their work with joy and see the fruits of their labors when distributing your gifts, when showing care for those who are hindered in the joy. Father, bless that work. Also the other office bearers. Equip every one of them for their special service in taking care that everything proceeds in good order in the church and all may be cared for. And Father, help us to see how we as individual members may be involved in the care for our brothers and sisters, so that together we may work to your glory in thankfulness, and your name may be praised. Amen. Our concluding song is hymn 56. receive now the blessing of the Lord and go home in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Amen.